So, you know, I don't know if I started from the beginning talking about threads, but certainly I think about halfway through, I started saying that, you know, the Lord kind of picked a thread for each of these chapter that seemed to be weaved through in each chapter. And as I went back and looked through all of the different takeaways or truths, or went back through my notes and looked at what the Lord had shown me, there was just certainly this thread that went through. And, you know, I had been reminded of a poem that I read a while back. It's called The Tapestry. I wanted to share that with you this evening because I really feel like he painted an amazing picture through this book of Luke over these 24 chapters, because we often, it's sometimes hard to see or understand what he might be doing in our lives. And first, before I read the poem, I want to show you this picture. I hope you can see it. Here, this one picture that I am pointing at here, this is a tapestry. It is the back of a tapestry. And I don't know if you can see it very well, but it is just a bunch of threads. It makes no visual sense at all. They're knots, there's ends, there's just pieces of string that make no picture at all. If you just look at each individual string, you would have no idea what it's for. And sometimes, you know, we look at the things in our lives and we wonder, Lord, what are you doing? If we look at an individual thread, a knot, whatever the case may be, it may make no sense. But when you put it all together, you tie them all together, and they are weaved through in a specific way. When you turn that picture around, you get this one here. That is the front of this. Put all together, the knots make perfect sense. So, and it's a beautiful picture, right? And it's much the same in our life. God is weaving things through our lives, every situation, every circumstance that comes into our lives, it's weaving God's purpose into our life. Now, the most important thread, of course, that is weaved through our life is Jesus himself and his finished work on the cross, and our believing that and accepting that, accepting the fact that he died for our sin, and not only that, he conquered death by raising from the dead. So there's this picture of the tapestry, right? As we look at every thread that is woven through the book of Luke, they all come together to make this picture of grace and the finished work of Christ on the cross. And so, but for, I wanted to read, show you that picture, and then I want to read this poem called The Tapestry. It says, my life is but a weaving between my God and me. I cannot choose the colors. He weaveth steadily. Oftentimes he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. So we may not like, as this poem says, all of the threads that are a part of our life. But they have their purpose. I think of my mom, you know, she went through lymphoma several years ago. But she said, you know, most of us would never wish for a diagnosis like that. But I remember on the other side of it, she said she was thankful for that. You know, it drew her so close to the Lord, and she would not give that back, you know. And that's a dark thread weaved through her life, yet that thread was very important, you know, as important as this says, as perhaps the gold and silver threads. We like the happy, we like the peaceful, but it's all part of his plan and his purpose in our lives. And again, he sees the finished work. We see all of the wayward threads, the knots and all of that, and we feel them all as we go through them. But we have to remember that we are in the weaver's skillful hand, that he has a purpose for each thread, each throw of the shuttle through the loom, and he has his reasons for those. And though this poem says that we may see those reasons, we may not always see the purpose for each thread, but we need to trust him that he knows what's best and that he does love and he does care, and that he will finish that work and make that beautiful tapestry that will hopefully be used to encourage others. You know, we know that scripture where he says to comfort wherewith we've been comforted. And I believe that we can use each thread that he weaves through our lives to encourage others, to perhaps share with somebody else the love of Christ, what he's done in our lives. To let them know about the tapestry he's weaving in their life. But anyways, that was brought to my mind as I spoke of the threads and as we got to the end of this book of Luke. And so now I just want to go through the threads, just saying this is where we've been through these 24 chapters of Luke. I'm not going to really touch much on the scriptures itself, but just the thread and a reminder of what we looked at as we went through each one. Now, in chapter one, we had talked about the relatability and availability thread, that we need to be available to God to allow him to have his way and his will in our lives. I remember talking about, you know, Lord, what do we do with the scriptures that are so familiar to us? As we looked at Luke 1 and 2, we know the Christmas story, the birth of John the Baptist, and Lord, we're familiar with it. What do we do with it? And I felt like he had showed us as the angel Gabriel in both Luke 1 and 2 came and fulfilled his purpose. He gave his message and didn't worry about how it was received. And we saw in Luke 1 that Zacchaeus didn't receive the message well, and he had the consequence of being mute until John was born. But then in chapter 2, we saw Mary was given the exact same message, and she received it, and she said, "Be it unto me, you know, according to your word," right? She received it. But in chapter 1, we talked about just being available, but also how relatable each character in the chapter is to us, especially Zacchaeus, when, you know, the Lord sometimes says stuff to us and we don't always accept it, you know. And that's where chapter 2 came in, which was the response thread. How do we respond to God's word when it comes to us? You know, and in chapter 1, like we said, Zacchaeus did not respond well, but Mary did respond well. Elizabeth, you know, responded well. Our response to Jesus must be one of searching and waiting. Sometimes we have to wait, right? For him to reveal what he's going to reveal to us. Sometimes it is preaching and praising. You know, he gives us a message. He's given each one of us a message to share. We talked, we prayed for those friends and family members that don't know him. We all have a message. God has done an amazing work in each one of our lives. Are we faithful to share that? What is our response to what Jesus has done and to the message that he's given? In chapter 2, you know, along the waiting lines, there was Anna, right? Remember, she was waiting, and Simeon, they were waiting for this promised one, and they got to see him. Simeon even said, my life can end now because I've seen the one who was promised, right? But in seeing him, there was great praise. From the shepherds, there was great praise and then proclamation, right? They proclaimed what they saw. So the thread of our response in chapter 2. So chapter 1, the relatability and availability thread. Chapter 2, the response thread. Hopefully it's one of praise and then proclaiming what he's done. When we looked at chapter 3, we talked about... I'm going to call it the identity thread. Our identity is in Christ. And throughout this chapter 3, we had talked about the fact that if it can be taken from us, it is not our identity. Ultimately, our identity is in Christ. I am a child of God through Christ. Chapter 3 is a majority of it about John the Baptist preparing the way, right? And we even saw him pointing to Jesus as he's coming, saying, behold, the Lamb of God, right? Again, our identity is not in anything that can be taken away, not our job, not our health, not in any of our family members. Our identity is in Christ alone. And if we are his, if we are a child of God, that cannot be taken from us. So chapter 3, the identity thread. Do we recognize him as the Lamb of God and accept him for that? Chapter 4, this is the temptation of Jesus. And so we have the temptation thread and realizing the temptation that comes into our lives as well. When we talked about chapter 4, we talked about the course of sin in our lives and how it's conceived and it grows and eventually gives birth to sin. And then we talked about the actions that we can take to guard ourselves against sin. And I think that one is so important. Let me run back through that one. The actions that we can take to guard. I can do that quickly. Because temptation is common to all of us. And we remember, of course, that Jesus doesn't give us more than we can handle, and he always gives us a way out. And so that little voice that we hear, we need to recognize it and respond to it. But the actions we can take were in Romans 6:1, not to continue in sin. You know, if we find ourselves in sin, just stop it, right? Don't continue in it. 1 John 1:9, we confess it if we find ourselves caught up in sin. Confess it. Matthew 6:13, avoid sin. We had talked about that. Prayer is also key in sin, and we saw that in Luke 11:4. And Joshua 24:15, we have a choice to make, you know. Are we going to serve Christ? If we're serving Christ, we're not serving ourselves and our sinful nature, right? Choose you today whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Matthew 16:24, deny self. Because it's when we are not denying self and we are indulging in our the lust of the flesh that we find ourselves getting into sinful situations. So if we deny self, we can often avoid sin. Ephesians 6:13-17, putting on the full armor of God. James 4:7, flee, right? Flee, run the opposite direction. 1 John 1:7, walk in his ways. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above. Romans 12:1-2, be that living sacrifice for God, right? Philippians 4:8, where is our mind? What are we thinking on? What do we sit on, right? Are we thinking on those things that are true, or are we thinking on things that are untrue? Are we thinking on things that are lovely, of a good report, or are we doing the opposite? Are we, which direction are we going? May it always be towards truth. And of course, being in the word, I can't say that enough, right? Is so important in actions against sin. So we had that temptation thread. We looked at that through chapter 4, of course, as Jesus himself was tempted. And how did he come against the temptation he faced? It was always with the word, right? The word says. That's how we combat, right? Then chapter 5, we talked about the cost of following Christ, the cost thread. We have to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him. There's a cost, right? The disciples were fishermen. They had jobs. He asked them to drop their nets and follow him, and they did that, right? And he made them fishers of men. People were asked to leave family, leave friends. We saw throughout the book of Luke many times where Jesus asked people to count the cost of following him. So there was the cost thread. In chapter 6, we... see Jesus heal on the Sabbath. We see the Pharisees upset with Jesus. And we talked about, I'm going to call it the self thread. It was selfish versus selfless. And we saw Jesus being, throughout this chapter, selfless. As he touched and he healed, and taking his eyes off, reminding us to take our eyes off of us and our desires and our wants and putting them on him, being selfless instead of selfish. We saw that throughout that chapter. In chapter 7, we talked about the touch thread, and we were reminded throughout chapter 7 that so many needs arose and Jesus was willing to touch in every situation. And we were reminded that whatever need may arise, Jesus is willing to address and touch them all, whether it was a physical need, whether it's an emotional need, or whether it's a spiritual need. Jesus's touch is amazing, and it is healing. And so we saw that throughout Luke 7, as he forgave a sinful woman, as he healed the centurion's servants, and and many other places that he touched in that chapter. So the touch thread. In chapter 8, we saw the choice thread. And perhaps you remember the choice, the night we talked about that, right? And we had said that the choice was to be at Jesus's feet. Jesus is empathetic and compassionate to people's needs, to their fears, to their anxieties, to their worries. He can bring peace to any situation, and he can calm the storms that come into our lives. And we saw that in this chapter, and this was where we even saw a storm arise on the lake, right? And or on the sea, and Jesus was asleep in the boat, remember? And the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Don't you care?" Right? And he brought peace and calm to that storm, and we were reminded that he can bring calm to our storms. In chapter 9, we saw the all thread that he sent out the 12, he fed the 5,000, he predicted his own death and resurrection, and he reminded them to take up the cross and follow him. And throughout this, we saw that all is for him, all is to him, and all is from him. Everything that is in our lives comes from him, and it's all for him, for his glory. So we had the all thread in that chapter. And again, we saw the cost of being a disciple in that chapter as well, that we need to give all of ourselves to him. In chapter 10, we saw, this was where we talked about the heart of it, the thread of the heart of it, mercy, love, compassion, and justice. We talked about Micah 6:8 when we looked at this chapter. And at the heart of all Jesus came to do and of all he asks of us is mercy, love, and to act justly. Are we compassionate like Jesus is compassionate? That was the heart of it. And that's, you know, in that chapter, that's the chapter with the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? Who set himself aside, right, to take care of this man, that those who should have taken care of this one who was hurt and injured would just pass by. In the heart of it, are we loving as Jesus would? Are we merciful as Jesus would be? And do we act justly in our actions? And that's also where we see Mary and Martha and the story there and the heart of it. You know, what do we choose? Where do we choose to be? Do we put ourselves at the feet of Jesus for that thing that is needful? The heart. What's the heart of it? What's the heart of why we do what we do? What is the motive, right? So the heart of it thread. And very closely related was chapter 11, which was the heart check thread. There is the model of prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer in that. And I recall on that night talking about the importance of prayer and why don't we pray, right? Why don't we pray more? And that we needed to do a heart check, examine ourselves, Lord, where is our heart? We looked at that. That chapter started out with the Lord's Prayer, and then it talked about the friend who comes at midnight asking for bread. And, you know, what is our motive there? Why would we give that friend bread? Because they're pestering us or because we want to meet their needs, right? We also look, that's also where asking, seeking, and knocking is brought out, right? Are we persistent in seeking out the Lord and the things of him and asking him to open the door for us and the good gifts that the Father gives. And so where's our heart check? Where is our heart when we look at it? When we hear God's word, do we keep it? Do we do it? When we hear of a need, do we fulfill it, or do we fill it grudgingly if we fill it? Where's our heart? And we also looked at Pharisees and lawyers there, and there were several woes to them. You know, so that whole, that thread was whole there throughout the whole chapter, you know. What's our motive, right? When we say the heart check thread, what's the motive for what we do? And chapter 12, we looked at hypocrisy and the rich fool is what it's called. Worry, the faithful servant and the evil servant, and division. And so we had said that chapter 12 was the verses thread, right? Or opposition, things in opposition to each other. We looked at the flesh versus the spirit. We looked at being earthly minded versus being heavenly minded. We looked at worry versus trust. We looked at the inward versus the outward. So the verses thread, this versus that. Things that are in opposition to each other. You know, we say one thing. It talked about hypocrisy to start out the chapter. Is what we say line up with what we do? We confess Christ before men. Do we live like Christ is our Savior, like this is the temple of God, or do we live in another way, right? Do we use the goods that God has given to us for his purpose, or is our treasure on earth, or is our treasure in heaven, right? We looked at worry in this chapter. Do we trust God for his outcome? Do we worry and fret? He said he came to bring peace. Do we find our peace in him? And the inward and the outward, you know, again, does our life follow what we say? If people look at us on the outside, is what people see on the outside is a reflection of what's happening on the inside. So, the inward versus the outward, or is everything we're doing for men, are we being men pleasers or are we being God pleasers? So the verses thread in chapter 12. In chapter 13, we see here is where I believe Jesus's focus starts to narrow. And we talked about the lens thread and how we needed to refocus our lens. You know, he talked about repenting or perishing. That's a pretty tough message there, right? And the state of Israel, he talked about the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of leaven. And here is where we just talked about the narrow way and how Jesus laments over Jerusalem in this chapter. And so, as sometimes our focus is so big that sometimes we just need to refocus and remember that there are people we know that don't know Jesus. And without Jesus, there is a hell that is very real. And we don't want people to go there. And so as we refocus our lens and are reminded of that in this chapter, that we do an inward check, but that we also are willing to share with others and let people know that there is a broad gate and there's a narrow gate and that there's only one way to get to the Father. And so, we talked about refocusing the lens and Jesus, his focus becomes on getting to Jerusalem. And as we finish then out the book of Luke, everything he did was to bring him to Jerusalem, to the cross, which was why he came, to seek and save that which was lost. And then as we turned into chapter 14, we again had the mindful thread, is what I have called it. And this is, where is our mind and our heart? Again, so many of these chapters just had us reflecting on, where are we? Where do we stand? Are we willing to leave it all to follow Christ? And this is also the chapter where he talks about the tasteless salt being worthless, and that we want to be salty salt, right? that we would be flavorful for, you know, that we would bring flavor to God's word, right? Seasoned with salt, not salt that is only good for being trodden under the foot, right? Where is our mind? Where is our heart? Hopefully, it is on Christ and on letting people know about him and being in his word. As we looked at chapter 15, and this is the parable of the lost sheep. Remember, Jesus talked about the one willing to leave the 99 to go after the one. This was the unthread, right? We talked about the way Jesus did things sometimes being unnatural, right? It wouldn't be the way that man would normally do things, but Jesus would leave the 99 and go after the one, where most people would say that would be senseless to leave. You got 99 good, healthy sheep here, stay with them. Forget that one, but not Jesus. He went after that one. He left the good ones to go after the one and bring him back into the fold. This is the unbelievable chapter, right? The unusual chapter. His ways are unusual. And this is the unconditional chapter, right? This is also, remember, this was the parable of the lost coin, right? We talked about the unrelentingness of Christ, as we talked about the woman who lost the coin, and we talked about that being a piece of perhaps a wedding jewel that she had lost, one of the coins off of this very important piece of jewelry to her, and she would search and search and search. It was an unrelenting search, and Jesus is unrelenting in his pursuit of us. And his love is unconditional, as we look at the parable of the lost son, the parable of the prodigal, right? God's unconditional love for lost man, for sinful man. That was chapter 15, the unthread. Chapter 16, the wear your glasses thread. I don't know. I remember this one. We were at Lori's house, and I had my new glasses, and I was saying how I don't like to wear my new glasses. They're bifocals. But how important it is for me to wear my glasses. I don't have them on tonight. I should. But because the reason that we had said this is because we need to be wearing the spectacles of eternal perspective, right? Everything becomes clear when we have on the right glasses, right? For me, I can't see very far without my glasses, and I can't see very close up without my glasses. So if I want to be able to read my word, I have to have them on. If I want to be able to read things in the distance, I need to have them on. But to have a clear picture, I need to wear the right glasses with the right prescription. And I believe that we need to be having the spectacles of eternal perspective. Do we have our eyes on our circumstances, our earthly circumstances, the things that are going on? Or as things are going on, are we looking at them with eternal perspective? What difference is this going to make, right? In someone's life for the future? do we look at people with eternal perspective? Do we remember again that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and that we have the key to heaven, right? We know the answer. And are we willing to share that with people? If we look at others with eternal perspective, we would want them to know. And this is the story of, in this chapter, of the rich man and Lazarus, right? And one ended up in hell and one ended up in Abraham's bosom. And there was great warnings in that chapter, right? So having the eyes of eternal perspective, the wear your glasses thread. In chapter 17, we had the thread of what's it going to take, right? There was so many warnings and we see the 10 lepers cleansed in this chapter, and only one returned thankful. We were reminded of the coming of the kingdom in this chapter. And so the what's it going to take thread that was throughout, that it's what's it going to take to obey? What's it going to take to obey God's word? What's it going to take to believe God's word? What's it going to take to forgive others? What's it going to take to serve? What's it going to take to give thanks, right? For us, it took Jesus to give his life. But what's it going to take for us to do these things? Again, eternal perspective. And hopefully we'll always be thankful, giving thanks in all circumstances. In chapter 18, we have persistence here. This was the persistence chapter. But the thread that came through here was the thread of being childish versus being childlike. We talked about the persistent widow here and how she came and came and came to the judge until he granted her wish, right? Until he granted her request. And we said that we need to be like this persistent widow, and that that was very childlike, because children will come and come and come and badger until they get what they want. And that we can come to God in prayer again and again and again, and he is faithful to answer. And sometimes we just need to wait, to be willing to wait, right? But sometimes we can be very childish, and sometimes I said it could also be adult-like instead of childlike, right? We tend to sometimes lose our childlikeness the older we get. And remember, this is where Jesus, this chapter is where Jesus blesses the little children and says, let them come to me. There's value in this, and that unless you come to God like a child, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of God. And that how, and we talked about how trusting children are and how easily they will learn something or accept something, and that we need to be like that. And we saw the rich young ruler in this chapter, not willing to give all that he had, and where was his treasure. And we talked about being childlike. You know, my kids, when they were little, they'd be willing to give sometimes their best toys to somebody. And me and my adult likeness was like, what? You want to give that away? You know? But being childlike was being, is just having a willing heart to give. And we were reminded of where is our treasure, just to come and follow, and the willingness of children to follow. So are we the threat of being childlike or being childish? As we've turned on to chapter 19, this is Zacchaeus in this, and the triumphal entry is in this, Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, cleansing the temple. And in this chapter, we called it the Occupy thread. And we talked a lot in this chapter about, are we going to occupy until Jesus comes, doing what he wants us to do? There was the parable of the minas, right? He's given to each one a certain amount of talents or gifts, and how are they used? Or are we just going to be about business as usual? We see Jesus in this chapter occupying, being about the Father's business until he makes it, and he finally did make it in here, the triumphal entry, right? And until that point, he was occupying, and we also know in the week ahead, he makes it to Jerusalem, but then we know for an entire week, he continued about the business of telling people about why he came, making it available to as many as possible before his death on the cross. Or are we going to be, again, just doing business as usual, doing the same old thing, but the Occupy thread. In chapter 20, this was the accept or reject it thread. That was the true question. Are we going to take Jesus at his word? His authority was questioned in this chapter. The Pharisees tried to trip him up so many times in this chapter. Who do we pay taxes to? Or is it all right for us to pay taxes? Yes, it is. He said, render to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what is God. The resurrection was questioned in this chapter. David was questioned in this chapter, and throughout this was, are we going to take God at his word, or are we not going to take? Are we going to accept what he has to say, or are we going to reject it? And we saw both sides in this chapter, those who were willing to accept Jesus at his word and those who are not, and we're going to reject no matter what. In chapter 22, this was the on guard thread. You remember we talked about fencing and being battle ready. We have the widow's mite in this, that she gave all to Jesus. Jesus predicting the destruction of the temple. The signs of the times and the ages here of what was yet to come. And we talked about watching and praying and being ready, being battle ready no matter what comes our way. And the importance of watching and being in the Word so that we know as all these things are unfolding what to expect. And as he was predicting all these things, the destruction of the temple, the destruction of Jerusalem, the importance of watching, the signs of the times and the ages. And then we got to the last chapter of Luke, and we talked about the fact that as Jesus died and the lady saw Jesus in the tomb, and the disciples saw Jesus in the tomb, and the men who were walking on the road to Emmaus, that they had forgotten, right? Here Jesus is just days before telling them all of this. They had forgotten the second half of the story, right? which is why it's so important for us to be in His Word, to be in His Word, to be in the Old Testament, to be in the New Testament, so that we're battle ready, we're watching, we're praying as things unfold, so we remember what is to come, and that we always be in a posture of prayer, so that when things do take place, and they could be perplexing, they could be troubling, trials and tribulations, we're not questioning what's going on, but we are ready. So on guard, thread. In chapter 22, we see the plot to kill Jesus. We see Judas Iscariot conferring with the chief priest here. We see the preparation of the Passover, Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. We see the arguing over who's the greatest of the disciples. Jesus predicting Peter's denial, and the prayer in the garden, and the actual betrayal in the garden when the whole multitude comes with Judas to take Jesus away, and the actual denial of Peter, that he even knew Jesus those three times before the rooster crowed. And we talked about chapter 2 throughout this chapter, from Judas to Peter to the guard whose ear got cut off, to the Passover and the preparation of Jesus, even through Jesus's being mocked and beaten, that we saw the thread of grace in chapter 22, from the beginning of that chapter to the end of the chapter. And at the end, as that rooster crowed and Jesus looked and turned and looked right into Peter's eyes, and we saw that glance of grace, as Pastor Fred had described it. And so grace, that grace thread throughout the chapter. And where would we be without Jesus's grace? Chapter 23, we talked about the thread of endurance and strength. And this is where Jesus is handed over to Pilate. He's been beaten. He faces Herod, and Barabbas is released. And Jesus is on the cross in this chapter. And his words were, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." And through all of this, the beatings, the taking Barabbas's place, being hung on the cross, and even in forgiving the thief that was mocking him but had turned and asked him to remember him, as it was the darkest day in history, the veil being torn in two, and Jesus, remember, we talked about Jesus giving up his spirit, not it being taken by anybody, but that Jesus gave it when he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," and he breathed his last, that this was the thread of endurance through it all. He endured it all for the purpose that he came, which was to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to die for sinful man. And we saw that happen in this chapter, and what great strength he showed in doing that. And we also talked about Philippians 4:13 as we looked at this chapter. You'll remember, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," as we looked at the other surrounding verses, the context of that. "I can endure all things through Christ who strengthens me." Christ was able to endure much, and because of his victory, we can endure all things through him. And then chapter 24, he is not here, he is risen, right? We see the binding thread, the thread that ties it all together. And this is where we were reminded so many times, right, as the women knew where Jesus was and they came and they were perplexed by his body not being there. They didn't see past the death, forgot about the resurrection. The two on the road to Emmaus, as they're walking, and Jesus comes alongside and says, "Why are you so glum, guys? What's going on?" And they're like, "Don't you know the one we thought who would come to redeem died?" And they weren't looking past that. And then Jesus unfolded the scriptures to them, right? The Old Testament scriptures that all pointed to him. And then he dined with them. And as he broke bread, their eyes were opened to who he was. The disciples, Jesus came into their midst. Pastor Fred spoke on it this past Sunday, right? In the midst. Jesus is in the midst of them. But they were all glum, perplexed. Our friend, the one who we thought was coming again, he died. And they forgot the second half of the story. But the binding thread through all of this is the resurrection, right? It's the one that completes the whole piece. We talked about that in a quilt, that without the binding thread, the piece isn't finished. Without the resurrection, the story isn't done. It's the resurrection that completes the work. The power is in the resurrection, the power over death. And without it, it would be a faith most futile, right? Because Jesus would just be another dead God without the resurrection, like so many other gods out there, right? But we serve the living God. And aren't we thankful for that? So that was the binding thread, the thread that ties it all together, the thread that completed the work was his death. And then we see him ascend into heaven. And again, as we started our thread in Luke with praise and proclamation, we end Luke in chapter 24 with praise and proclamation. The very last word says, "And they were continuing in the temple, praising and blessing God." So chapter 1, praising and proclaiming what is done, and chapter 4, praising and proclaiming. And so as we look at that thread, we look at the tapestry of Luke, we see a Savior who came to seek and to save that was lost. And he did it with the finished work of the cross and the resurrection. And our job is to praise him and to proclaim him.
Amen.
Amen.